Hello and welcome to the DPDL Talent Development Podcast, brought to you by Dash Square, Bangalore's leading luxury furniture brand. This is a show where we talk about grassroots football, picking the brains of some of the leading experts in talent development. In today's episode, we have one of the most decorated foreigners to have graced Indian football. He's won 3 National Football League titles, 2 with Mohun Bagan and 1 with Mahindra United. He's an absolute legend of Indian football, having scored more than 200 goals for his beloved Mohun Bagan. He's also won the ISL as an assistant coach with ATK. And today, he's using all his wealth of experience guiding youth players at one of India's best youth academies, the Reliance Foundation Young Champs. I'm delighted to welcome Jose Barreto on today's episode. Firstly, Mr. Jose, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for taking the time out for the DPDL Talent Development Podcast. It's an honor to have you on the show, a legend of Indian football, one of the most experienced and the most successful Brazilians and, in fact, foreigners to play in Indian football. So it's an absolute honor to have you on the show, sir. And, you know, our show is, it's about talent development, right? As the name suggests, it's mainly for coaches, for parents, for kids, players who are trying to make it as a footballer, trying to, in a phase of life where they're enjoying football, probably want to make a career out of it, right? And who better to learn from and from the experiences than the great Jose Barreto himself. So, you know, that's what we'll do on today's show is first try to break down your career, try to break down your learnings and especially your learnings as a youth footballer, because that's the essence of the show. And right, so my first question to you is, Brazilian in Indian football, an extremely unique story, an extremely unique connection, something you would have never thought of, that okay, I'll probably be one of the highest scoring strikers in this league in some part of the world, yeah, so far away from Brazil. But what I'm most keen to find out is your younger days in Brazil, making it as a youth footballer. You were at the very famous Grêmio Academy and you kind of developed there as a player. What were your experiences as a youth player?
I think first of all, you have to be a dreamer. You know, and when I'm looking back to myself, I remember to be in schools, you know, writing things about clubs. And during those times, we had, still the TV was black and white. And we had a very, we didn't have much information about, you know, what was happening out of Brazil, you know. And even in Brazil, we had very less information in that time. But out of Brazil, we had a very less information. But when I was into my books, like when I was in the classes and I was write up about things, I usually to write in things about clubs. Clubs are like Aston Villa, Newcastle. In that time, like it was 80s. And I think it's something that, you know, is relating to already, okay, if you have to play one day outside, where do you want to play? So those clubs are the ones that are usually to come already into my mind. So I related to that to, you know, be dreaming already. So I think within my 10, 11, 12, it was all about dreaming. You know, although, yes, I was in a scenario because I came from a very small town in Brazil, quite far from the capital, in south of Brazil, 400 kilometers border with Uruguay. So I like, yeah, it's well-known city, but it's really far away from, you know, the real football, you know, because in capital there is the 2 big clubs in the capital, that's Grêmio International. But we're really far from that reality. You know, where there is 2 small clubs over there, a lot of struggles because we are very far from capital. So in terms of financial aspect, structure, everything. So we have really struggled with that. But, you know, that dream was there. When I was a child, that dream already was there with me, what I feel, and I think that is where everything started.
Okay. I think the key word I've taken here is dream.
being a dreamer.
Exactly.
I think you were already visualizing the fact that you wanted to make it. And I think somewhere indirectly that was at the back of your mind to constantly kind of make it a part of your life, that this is probably, this is where I want to make it. This is what could make a career out for myself. So just take us back to how that first stint with Gremio came about. Mm-hmm. How were you spotted? How was the culture? Where were you playing every day? Did you have a local field? Did you have a good football turf? Were you playing on the streets? What's your environment like?
My environment was really good, because when I was 9 years old, I was moving to a place where it was a kind of community where there is a lot of kids around. So till my 9 years, not. I was maybe around my family, you know, my grandfather's, grandmother's side, and then my main friends were my cousins. But when I was 9 years old, I moved into a place where my family become the people over there, because it was a community. Then we had a lot of kids, a lot of boys over there. And as a kid, we're playing all the time, you know. What I was saying to you before is we had the space.
Okay.
I think the only thing what a kid needs is a space, you know. And
yeah.
After this is about creativity, you know, how we're going to play. You know, we didn't have balls in that time, because having a ball in that time, in those years, was, you know, quite expensive. And so we didn't have the ball, or if you had the ball gone. Sometimes the guy that had the ball was not at home.
Yeah.
So
that's quite similar to India as well. Yeah, happens here.
So we had to adapt. We had to take maybe many plastic things and all that, make a ball. I say, guys, yeah, we have to play. We have to sweat. We have to enjoy, you know. And we had the space and we had each other. I think that was the main thing. And I feel we, as a kid, we use our creativity. You know, it's not only football, but it's about running. You know, 1 kilometer, say, let's go run 1 kilometer. Okay, let's go and run 1 kilometer. Oh, let's go for swimming. Yeah, okay, let's go for swimming. So in that way, you already, you know, I used to say that I didn't have the perfect pathway, you know, to become a footballer. But I have done the activities what I had, you know, to do. Like, I have done everything. You know, I explore everything. You know, all natural things, what things was possible for me, I explore. I was a kid that I was in the streets most of the time. So we're playing the streets. Okay, the ground there is empty, let's go to the ground. You know, let's go for swimming in the lake. Lake is there, let's go for swimming. Okay, let's go for fishing. So we had to walk in 2-3 kilometers. Okay, let's go for fishing. So I was a very active child. And I feel it's helped me. You know, somehow it's helped me. You know, later on, because yeah, as you starting growing, then you starting having more opportunities, like playing tournaments. When I got spotted was when I was playing amateur league. When I was my 15s already, okay. I was playing with open age guys. Then it was a place where I got spotted for someone that say, yeah, I want to look after you. I want to be your agent, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've seen your talents. So I've been, I think, a 15 years old kid is playing open age. In that time, it was something really wow, you know, he must be really good. And that is just moving, spread that out into the city, something that way, in a small city. And he approach me and say, I want help you out. I had no idea about anything. And I say, yes, but how are you going to help me? You say, I'm going to look after you and your family. Wow, I say, that's great. You know, and then that person become the president of the club of my city.
Okay.
Yes, as he become president, then he called me to that club when I was 15, 16. Over there, I got a couple of chances, although I was 15, 16, in playing the second division, open age, thing. It's for me, it was like I didn't have any fear into it. I didn't have any, you know, I wasn't scared about anything. For me, it was just about playing football.
Correct.
And then I had the full support, of course, of the club and the coach over there, staffs. And the older players, they embraced me because I was just a kid in that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a kid. So they all embraced me and they support me a lot. So it's helped me out like to start giving steps over there in that club where it's called the attention of Grêmio. Where it's called because I started playing some of the leagues and all that. And yeah, 15, 16 year old playing in open age. The same thing what's happening in amateur, it's happening also in the club. Then the interest of Grêmio was, they had called me over there for a 6-month trial, a kind of loan.
Yeah.
And where I really stand out over there, then after the 6 months, they just went and they bought me from that club.
Okay.
Is where my story really started.
Nice, nice. And were you a striker back then as well, at 15?
Striker.
Were you a striker then or that... That evolved over a period of time.
See, as a kid, I won't play anywhere. I think as a kid, you know, I was not a striker because I was just 15. When I came to amateur,
yeah.
I could not be a striker because most of the physical guys are in the back.
Yeah.
So they just give me a rule like, yeah, be a free player, be anywhere, right? Just explore your creativity.
Okay.
And they give me that freedom. And then in Guarani, that was the club of my town, it's where the tactical part started being shown to me. It's where I really started learning into an 11-a-side pitch, you know, what's my role into the pitch. And yes, over there, they started put me as a striker, not really as a 9, but as a winger, as a winger over there. And sometimes they put me as a midfielder as well,
sure.
In a position that I love by heart, you know, as a midfielder.
It's fascinating, Jose, because, you know, when I compare this to India, you know, with a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old being given a chance in an amateur league or even at a professional level or semi-professional level, 15, 16-year-old being given a chance is almost unheard of here. And this is one of the biggest problems that we've seen in youth football as well. I was interviewing a few youth players in Bangalore who play in the Bangalore Super Division, right? And they were about 21, 22 years old, okay? And they were still not getting their chance into the first teams. Reason being, because the coaches or the seniors still say that, you know what, you're still a young player.
Mm-hmm.
At 21, 22,
yeah.
You're still a young player. And once the seniors are phased out, you will get your chance. You will get your chance. And imagine, this kid he's probably 20, 21, 22.
Yeah.
And I mean, in most countries around the world, that's not a young player. That's somebody who's probably performing at the top level at some of the clubs. That's a very stark difference for me, that they probably gave you that chance. Or not everyone gets it at the age of 15.
Yeah, it's difficult because... See, as an under 15 players, I think physiologic, so you can see differences.
Yeah.
You know, you can see players that 15, maybe they are 160. You're going to see players with 15, they're going to be 170 or 180. And I think as a coach, you have to decide now you're going for the smaller one or to the bigger one. And I feel the coach are going to choose the big one.
Yes.
Right? Because he's looking for more physicality.
Yeah. He's probably looking for results.
Yeah, looking for the results and all that. I feel it's really become a challenge. What I'm seeing, the problems what we are facing in Brazil as well.
Okay.
Right? The same problems we are facing as well. Because especially in this age group is where we are having really challenges in Brazil.
Yeah.
Because coaches are also going for a win. In Brazil, you see, we are talking about a country that football is everything. So the number of players are huge. Everyone is going to be a player. But also, to be a coach is the same thing. So a lot of people want to be a coach, want to become a coach.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't being involved into these sports somehow. And we are facing the same problem as well in Brazil. They are really going for physicality. And the potential, you know, is being keep away. Like, keep aside. It's not keep away, but keep it aside and say, okay, let's go and play the one that's physically more strong, more taller. Yeah, but he's not a potential. Maybe he's already into a, you know what, he's top, but I don't think anyone is looking into it. That is something I think in India, I think the minus of it is that you maybe, then you come maybe to the age fraud. Yeah, like, you know, that is
that's a whole new podcast altogether.
Yeah, that's topic. another thing that can go longer into it, and you know, you don't want, I think, bored into that. But also, yeah, you have 15 and you are going to compete a guy that is 15 or maybe a little bit older is really a challenge. And I feel it's a bit of a killing talent. I think Brazil, maybe we are having better eyes. Maybe we are able to recognize really the real talent, the potential, and say, yeah, I really want, given the way it has given to me. But maybe in India, you know, maybe they are not able still, you know, to having that sensibility to recognize the real talented player.
Speaking of Indian football, and I will be kind of breaking down your experiences, because what I'm interested to know is, how did that transition now happen from Brazil to India? And did it have something to do with the same agent who became the president of the club, or was it someone else now?
See, what's happened, I was pure talented player. Right, I think my story already said that. You know, with 15 playing Open League, 16 I was in Grêmio, 18 I already was seated already on the bench of professional. You know, so my story already said that, yeah, he was a talented player. But the things what I struggled to lead was with discipline and hard working. Yes, I was always a hard working player, to coming from a small town to reach into a capital and to reaching, you know, where I had been reached. Yeah, you must work hard, you must show that, yes, that's something inside of you, otherwise you're not able to reach in there. But I feel I stopped in something that was very important, that's called discipline. You know, sleeping proper time, you know, eating proper time, getting maybe distracted with different things out of the field, especially out of the field. I think that's something we are boarding a lot over here. I know maybe our boys even, sometimes they say, wow, they're really over us and all that, but we are scared. We're really scared that, you know, after these boys, they put in too much into it. You know, they leave their families at 13, 14, coming to here, you know, believing their dreams and everything. And somehow they get distracted somewhere and they can lose everything. They can lose that. So we're really worried about that. So we're a bit of super protective into them. And I stop into that in terms of discipline. And I think I made it as a professional player still by talent and by working hard. But discipline was not there. And this is what I feel it stopped me to go to high level. To really go into what you spoke about, maybe to Europe, to go some, that was, it stopped me to moving forward to a different place. Then I think that was, we can say that that factor stopped me to move in there, but also this factor gave me also opportunity to see another side of life also, you know, and I think I'm really grateful that I'm here. You know, I'm really grateful that I'm here. I feel maybe moving to Europe, it could be about me. You know, but I have seen that being over here, I created much more impact. You know, I created much more impact than maybe moving to Europe. And I feel that could be more about me. I achieved it. I got it. I'm in Europe. I'm playing for this club or that. But over here, it's different. So it's not about me, you know, it's about people also, you know, to see closely a Brazilian football to see, you know, I think that time, I think I was one of the first Brazilians that come. They're really able to see Brazil football by, you know, just looking someone. So I feel I create much more impact over here.
This is a key learning for you know, kids, players, you know, watching the show. The fact that, yes, there was a setback in your life and you kind of identified it. It's very interesting that you knew that there was a discipline issue that probably didn't help you achieve that. But I think what most players would have done there is, that's it, you know, I probably leave it or I pursue something else. But the interesting thing here is you actually still stuck on to it. You still stuck on to it, found a new opportunity and broke it down in another country. And like you said, made a much bigger impact. And you were loved. You were loved by the Mohan Bagan fans. Like, we could, throughout the early 2000s, when I followed the NFL, I mean, you were all they adored. I mean, you were their crown jewel almost. So, I mean, you're right. It really was about the people, not just the fans, the other people that you helped, the other players who you played with possibly, you know, gave them your experiences. Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating. I think this is something that kids should take away, that it's not the end of the world if your dream, exactly how you visualized it, doesn't make it. It's how you take life from there also. It's not over.
Right. Exactly. That's yeah, I think, yeah, it's about you see, when I had moved into India, that was something very interesting because, from Grêmio, I went to Japan. You know, just to also to highlight a little bit about what was my journey. And from Grêmio, like 18, I was in professional already. And Ronaldinho came from Grêmio as well.
Yeah.
So we have a difference of 3 years. So we all are like, you know, playing the same pitch. He was under 17. I was already pro, junior, pro player. So we all like into that same environment and all that. And so I had achieved like what I dreamed very fast. You know, it came very fast into me. Then in my first year of professional, I was in Japan. Okay. Yeah, then I went to Japan for 1 year. Then I got back to first division in Brazil. Then I moving towards some clubs, you know, in Brazil still. But the thing, the thing from India come to me like the very special way, you know. That's why I always value it. It's because it's coming a moment where I really say I want to go out, you know. So today I consider the mission, what I spoke about, yes, the impact what I created, you are able to see later on, and we're able to see in that moment. But it came in a moment where I was saying, yeah, I need to move out from Brazil. I need really to, you know, I'm really looking for a new opportunity, right? But of course, in my mind, it was not India, you know. I think still that time, with 20 years, you're still dreaming, 21, you're still dreaming still to move into Europe or any another place. But India comes to me, right? And that moment I say, yes, I need the next step has to be outside. And India came to me, and I say, yeah, let's go there and see, right? And something what I'm usually telling people that I never thought I'm going to stay that long. And my contracts with Mohan Bagan, that was the club that played most of my time over here, was renewed year by year.
Okay.
So today we're having 3 years, 5 years contract, but it was always done like year by year. So, okay, let's finish this year, then we'll talk. Then it was always in this way. So it's like, it took me 20 years now.
So once you made it to Mohan Bagan and I'm sure you yourself probably were comparing your talent,
yep,
your abilities to the players, yep, around you.
Yep.
And you would have identified that already,
exactly,
that you were there.
Exactly.
So take us through that time at Mohan Bagan, the first spell, the first 5 years, I think 5 odd years that you spent,
yep,
in the first spell.
Yep.
What was it that actually convinced you also to stay year on year?
See, what's this, when I came to Bagan, the first training what I come, because I came for a trial for Bagan, and I didn't thought it was going to be a long trial. I just thought it's going to be a kind of 1 week, See, everyone's, if you bring a foreigner, you won't see him for a few days. Then later on, yeah, then you say, okay, yeah. You confirm it, say, okay, he's going to stay or not. So I come for a short one. It was supposed to be like kind of 5 days, 6 days. It's become 1 month. 1 month trial in Mohunbagan. Yeah. And it was 1 month where, you know, you are daily seeing that you are better. You are good. You know, you say, wow, you know, players at this level, I'm in this level here. But still, like, the club didn't finalize with you. Then you started asking, what's going on? You know, why the club is, I'm in this level over here? But you don't understand that the financial aspect is there.
So,
yeah. You don't understand that they are going to maybe see you, how much you weighs, and maybe they are going to look in back to another player and say, yeah, but we can bring him also in this money.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you are thinking also what fans are thinking. So what's happening in Kolkata, they're starting. It was a kind of a show. I was 1 month in there, kind of, the club was showing me to the supporters, to get in the approval of supporters. And so the media.
So they were playing you in local tournaments or let's say the CFL?
No, it was like every day was training. They didn't, okay. No, they didn't use me. I was in a trial, so they could not put me into official game.
Okay.
So it was all about training for 1 month because they're showing me to the supporters and they're showing me to the media to get in approval from the supporters and media to say, yeah, okay, we are going to sign you. It took me 1 month.
Wow, okay.
So it was a long process. But also within that process, I also had to make a decision, all right? If I want to go through it, or I say, no, I'm going to get him back, all right? Yeah. But when I came here, that I think comes through my personality, you know, maybe to that be strong, fight, maybe my challenge also, it's helped me over here because I say, hey, if I come from there to here, you know, it's like I'm going to win. You know, that winning mentality.
Correct.
Say, okay, if I come from Brazil to here, I'm going to win. I'm going to stay. Right? So it's become a kind of a personal thing for me as well. I say, yeah, if I come from there to here, yeah, I'm going to win. I'm going to stay over here. And this is the way it started. And I feel also that I could bring something. I think when I look in the training, when the first session started over there, I look in from the galleries, the training and all that, I didn't look like, oh, the level is, you know, the level is low or something that way. I look like, okay, if I come in there, what I can bring into these players, you know, what I can bring into them with my quality, with my level, because now I'm a Brazilian, you know. People expecting more from me, you know. My expectations are going to be higher. I say what I can bring in for these players. And this was the way I look into it.
So, Jose, speaking about your playing days, right? You've had a decorated career, but of course, every player's days are limited. And talk us through your final years as a player, that second stint with Mohunbagan towards the end, where NFL, the National Football League, has now become the I-League. We are slowly moving towards the Indian Super League era. Your playing days are pretty much coming to an end now. So, what actually was going through your mind at that moment? Was coaching something you'd already thought of? Mm. Did someone give you that advice that you know you should probably become a coach as well? Just talk us through that transition, because I think this a lot of players who are today playing in the Indian Super League or playing in the I League, I League Second Division, wherever, and you know who probably are thinking of what after football, it's very important for them also to kind of get these experiences. So what was going through your mind in that phase?
I feel it's very important if you can plan, you know, your next step before. But I didn't plan. I really didn't plan my what's going to be my next stage, if I'm going to be a coach or whatever, a manager or something else. So I didn't plan in that way. I feel I just, it was very intense for me, you know, especially in the last years when I was playing, it was really intense. You know, the club was facing their own challenges, like as a team, as a club, we faced our own challenges. See, about winning, no winning is always there. That pressure from media, pressure from supporters. So I didn't have the time to really to think about something else. You know, it's it was all about, you know, thinking about what about today? You know, what about tomorrow means, yeah, what's going to happen next week? Like, what will be the opponents? Where do you have to travel? So there's a lot of things where, you know, I had to put in my mind, because when I come into your last years also, there is a lot of, you're dealing with your age as well. You know, so your age aspect is there. So you must taking care of yourself. Injuries are there. So there are a lot of things where you have to deal with, right? And you're dealing with your own, you know, expectations and all that. So I think my last years was really a challenge for me. Because I think for us, you say this as a player that build up something, now you are fighting, you know, to keep it,
yeah.
You know, really fighting to keep your name, you know, and I feel when you reach a certain level, you are really, you feel hurt and you feel bad when people questioning,
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, your football, maybe your character, you know, he's not giving 100%, he's not performing. You know, those kind of things are really hurting you. Because you don't know how to deal with that yet, because you haven't been through that, especially in a very sensible age. That would be like your 30s, 32, 33. You know that you're reaching to an end. But you want end it well. You know, but so that is really your mind is where it is going through. So you're really not thinking about what's going to be my next step. So I didn't plan my really coaching career after football, after my playing career.
So talk us through that. So who was there, someone who advised you to become a coach? How did you decide to firstly stay in India and to continue as a coach?
I stopped playing in 2014. That's one of my last 2 years, where I played for a club also in Kolkata. Then I say, yeah, it's enough for me. You know, my body was not going anymore. My mind was not going anymore. I say, yeah, it's time to stop. Then in that year, ICL. I think they had started ICL in the first year. Where I got a proposal to be an assistant coach,
okay,
in ICL. So it was like, yeah, new leagues coming up to India and all that. So I, as I was very, I think they understood that I really knew, especially the Indian players very well. So they brought a foreigner coach from Spain. And so they decided, okay, Barreto, you're going to look in for the selection of Indian players, because that time was draft system in ICL. We're going to look after the Indian players, and we're going to bring the foreigners. We're going to bring also the foreign players, of course, through his indication. So in that way, we're having, I think there's a reason we are taking, they had taken me more as a selector than as a coach.
Okay.
But I feel that was something very important for me, because over there I was able to, you know, to understand, say, wow, I like it. You know, it's something that, yeah, that maybe I can be, although I didn't play really a role of as assistant coach in the pitch and all that. I didn't play that role, but it's something that I look at and
observe.
I observe. And I say, yeah, maybe something that I think I can have in a quality to, you know, maybe to pursue in this career.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, as a coach, Jose, I'm sure you started off as a selector role to kind of support the head coach, support the club more than as doing coaching duties on the pitch. But when that transition happened to actually working as a coach on the field, why youth players? Why and how did you end up with youth players?
See, I got selected for this program when I was in Kolkata, when I still was working under 8K. We had a grassroots program in Kolkata, and it was done by Peter Herbers, that was the technical director of this project. And when he had seen me, because I was somehow 8K, they appointed me as a kind of, you're going to looking after the youths also, some of the programs and all that, they usually to send me, you know, just to be part of that program. And when Peter Herbert said that I'm going to do a grassroots festival in Kolkata, then 8K they had sent me to that program. So there's a festival over there and kids all over and all that. And what's happened, I was one of the coaches in that program. Then Peter Herbers was, of course, he was the main guy in that grassroots program over there. Then, okay, it got over. Then it's passed a few days and I got an email from him. He asked me if I was interested to be a part of a program that's going to come up in Bombay, right? That is Young Champs. Yeah. And then he explained a bit about that. It's going to be a grassroots program. We're going to start up from, you know, below. And then I think with the time, we're going to build up a little bit more academy, kind of. Then I say, okay, let's try. You know, because my first experience here at TK, yes, for me was more comfortable because you're working out with professionals there.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, talk with professionals was not a problem. You know, my communication was very clear with them and all those things. I was able to help also the environment with Indian players. Very comfortable, but I really don't know. I think he saw that quality on me. Otherwise, he was not going to call me. I think he had seen something on me, you know, in that when I was in that pitch, in my connection with the kids, he had seen something special on me. And I just kind of believe on him. He said, know. Yeah, I want going to come out with that. I said, okay, let's go and see. So it was not really like, I want working with grassroots or okay. youth.
It just happened along the
way. It just happened, along of the way.
Understood. So, so Jose, when you look at youth players today, right? Let's break this down to you as a coach, with all your experiences as a player that you've built up, all the experiences dealing with coaches, dealing with clubs, dealing with your teammates. What is talent development for you, right? How do you define it today as a coach with all your experiences? If I just asked you, what is talent development to you?
What I have learned during these years over here, of course, when I came, I didn't have that idea. But what I have learned during the years is, I think what's why I look in this academy, you know, is a holistic development where you're able to really to help in the kids in, you know, in all the ways. You know, to helping the kids to reach in their best, you know, to reach at best of what they can be in whatever, you know, can be, of course, they are here for football. I think we are going to do our best into it. But in terms of education as well, it's very important for us because we know that if they're really not able to be a player, yeah, they must stand by their feet when they're moving out. And the education part is very, it's essential also in their lives. Even if they become a pro player, it's going to help in them, you know, and I think in the future. But what I feel is that as I said, it's you want making sure that the kids are getting the everything, like every, I think they're getting the opportunity to be here, but they're getting the best of us, like to be the best of themselves. I think that is the most important thing. I think I had said my story already, you know, and we had everything, but I lack in discipline. Yeah. And for that reason, yes, I think I could go a little bit more, you know, could go a little bit more farther, maybe in, like looking to my qualities, looking to my potential, I could reach in farther. Yeah. But somehow I stopped because of discipline. And this is what we're trying to bring in this academy.
Sure.
And I think this is what I'm looking in food development is about. We are able to recognize, you know, to really able to see, you know, to touch, I think, all aspects what that kid is needed to be, I think, the best what they can be.
Okay. So those aspects, Jose, when you look at a player today, of course, as coaches, you can always break it down to technical, tactical, social. Yeah. That's a very, like a compartmental view at looking at a player.
Yeah.
Right? But if I ask you this question personally, you're at a football game where you've been assigned the role of probably analyzing one or two players who you want to pick up for the academy. And they're in this youth phase between 13 to 16, or let's say 15 to 17 kind of an age. What are the characteristics that you're looking for from youth players? Who, according to you, is an ideal youth player? I know we can go on hours for this. But if you had to give insights to a young player listening,
I have seen a lot during these years. You know, of course, when we come to the academy, I think as we are, when I came in, especially in the beginning, I'm just looking for the talent. I say, which one is the best one? Yeah, which one is the best one? Then you pick like the best ones. But what I had learning along of the years that I think you must see the behavior. I think you can get some signs already, you know, when you do a scouting. I think you can see some signs already of, you know, who are this kid, you know. And I think for us and for me as well is talent is important, right? But I feel what is behind us is important. Yeah, I think this, what we do as academy over here, can we work out this? Can we make it better? Can we improve it? Yes, we can. But sometimes also we are seeing things that say, yeah, you know, these things is going to be difficult to change in this kid, you know, and maybe the behavior already, right? Because I feel if the kid has really huge issues with behavior, maybe can maybe destroy your environment, right? Environment of maybe, I'm saying 90 kids or maybe, right, or 50 kids, they can destroy that environment. Maybe the kids does not want change. Also can take a bit of time for the kids to really to. I think this is something that is really counts for us. That's very important. When we scout a kid, we really are able to see very well. I think the way the project is going now is really good. We're having a scouting department where you're really, you know, looking very well, are able to really to see the kids a little bit more during the year, making different scouting, having different selections. Where we really are like the kids are coming to us in the final camp. We already know a lot about those kids. And this helps us into that process, really to, I'm not saying making mistakes, but yeah, it's helped us sometimes to bring kids that really focus into football and also maybe to be a better, also to be better in this project.
I think how this project is, at least for me, I had a kind of first-hand account of seeing a glimpse of how your project is going at the DPDL Super Cup that we organized in Bangalore earlier this year, where you got your team there. And I remember discussing this with you after your game. It was a crucial game against Alchemy.
Yeah.
And I think the players, it was a very hard fought game. They somehow won it and they qualified for the semi-final because of that game. And I remember you and I discussing this where you were not kind of happy with the fact that they were celebrating like they won.
Yeah.
Celebrating like they won the title.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was very interesting because you, with all your experience, were actually able to bring these kids back down to earth in, let's say, pretty much post game and remind them that there's still two more games to go. We haven't yet won the title. But yes, I think it's a human holistic kind of approach that I saw already. The fact that it was not just about winning, the fact that you were not celebrating, your staff was obviously, everyone was very composed. And you knew your targets, but of course these are kids at the end of the day, so bringing them back was important. So just take us through this journey at Young Champs with this set of players that you've been with for a while now. Many of them we've been, if you follow the social media accounts of the Young Champs these days, over the last 1 or 2 months itself, I've seen I think 5 or 6 players, maybe more. Who probably made it into an ISL first team. So what is it that you guys are doing that's actually enabling this?
See, we are aware that your talent can bring you here, right? And I think as academy also, we have a strong team that can help you maybe to reach in there, right? But to stand in there, then is different, right? And this is, I think, something that we're really working hard in the academy to prepare, really preparing them for the next step, right? So when they're moving out from the academy, right, you must be ready for what's going to come into you. So that's why I think we're surrounding them, you know, and I understand they're kids. That's like a good point what you said. They're just kids. I understand in them that maybe after game over there, they're getting overexcited and all that. They're kids, they're going to make mistakes. And the head of the academy was just talking with the boys today down. They say, yeah, we want you to be kids. I think that's fine. The mistakes are going to there. They're going to be there. But we, I think, as a coach, as educators, we must really, you know, show it to them, say, guys, yeah, but it can reflect in different way.
Correct.
All right, you can do that, okay, but it can reflect in a different way. All right, you can get a much more stronger opponent. If you're facing them again, you're going to get a much more stronger opponent.
And a stronger reaction from the opponent as well.
Strong reaction of the opponent.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the right sentence. So you must avoid it. All right, I think you can walk in silently, working hard, work silently, and okay, you know, can you get defeat? Yes, you can get defeat, you can lose the game. Yes, that's fine, but don't give in, you know, the opponent in that. I think it's a charge. Don't give in the opponent that charge where they can come stronger to win the next time. Yeah. All right, so you must know how to really balance in that. I think as for us as a coach, I think this is academy. That's the way we are working over here. Right, we really try. We want them to be kids, right? Yeah. But yes, we are also really aware, really alert to the things that, you know, can making them to look indifferently, right? I think we are really privileged. I think something that we're always discussing over here. We are really privileged what we're having over here. It's really a blessing what, you know, we're having over here. No everyone has such privilege, even for us staffs, to having what we're having over here. We value it, you know, and the players also, they must value it. Also what they're having, the facility, the infrastructure, the staffs, everything what they're having over here. Wow, we are blessed to be here, right?
Sure.
But we must not think in that we are special ones because we are here. We are not special ones,
yeah.
Right? If this opportunity has been given to us, yes, let's use it to become a better into it. I think this is the way it's happening with me. When I join over here, I think getting back to that process of player, coach, and all that, it took a little bit time also in that process. You know, for me to really to be what I am today as a player, as a person as well.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that is a process. But it's something that we are really looking close into, you know, to make our players, yeah, we want good players, but we want out people that represent in this academy. When you're moving out from here, that the people, I think we got a lot of compliments from Ayush last year, yeah. Of the Bombay City coach. He was really impressed the way of his approach. Yeah. He said, wow, he's really professional, really focused into his things. So when players are looking mobile, looking at the things and all that, Ayush is working. He's really focused, he really focused into his work and all those things. So for us, it was really like a big compliment, you know, for the academy, because all these things he had learned over here with us. And yeah, and I think that is really a compliment for the whole academy.
And I think in the journey as a player and as a coach, I think setbacks is something that will come. I'm sure players like Ayush sure have faced it. You as a player, you as a coach have faced it. I think this was quite, it's a personal question I wanted to check with you. I couldn't catch hold of you post the DPDL Super Cup. But then, when you guys came into the tournament, you guys were top favorites, you know. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best academies in the country, flying in all the way from Mumbai for this.
Yeah.
You were the top favorites. You guys reached the final and you lost to Roots FC.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to speak to you about this, but I want to know, because this was a setback, a minor setback, you know, in a final. But how did you as a coach react to this? How did the players respond to this? Mm-hmm. Just take us through that. I think it's very interesting to know when an academy does go through a setback as well, what is it that the staff is doing to rejuvenate, to get back to normal post this?
I think the reason for us to participate in the PDL tournament was to give an experience for the boys, right? I think for us as a coach, as academy, we know that two things are there, winning and losing is going to be there, right? But I think the experience is very important for us. You know, giving the experience of them to play against different teams, different academies over there with different levels. I think what we face over there, more physically, less physically, different way of playing. I think this experience what we're looking for, you know, when you're going for that kind of tournaments. But I feel the experience was valid. You know, definitely we had taken something out of that. And yes, a defeat is never, I think a defeat is never something that we like to go through, but it's important also in the development.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, and finally, we'll kind of wrap up the podcast with this question as well. I think a lot of people listening in are coaches and parents, right? So it's a two-part question.
Yeah.
A lot of young, upcoming coaches who really want to pursue a career in this, who probably don't have the playing accolades that a Jose Barreto has.
Mm.
But what would you advise to an upcoming coach? You know, what is it that he should focus on? Is it youth football that he should first build his kind of abilities with, you know, have a trial and error kind of approach, working with youth players, and then kind of really trying at the senior level? Or what's the approach that works for a youth coach these days? What would you suggest?
So I feel that, I think for a coach, I think he must understand that his role into it. I think first, okay, I'm a coach, right? What is important for me to help in this kid, you know, to reach, you know, at their best.
Yeah.
I think coach has to be really clear about that. And see, when I talk about youth coach or whatever, you're going talking different levels. You're going talking with maybe kids are going just to play. You're going to maybe kids are there. Maybe they're thinking a little bit more. You know, they're thinking maybe to become a player. You know, or to play football. Or they're going to having kids that want dreaming to be a pro player. So I think as a coach, he cannot move in out of what is, you know, what's to be a coach. I think that's a very important thing for any coach is about educating. You know, I think using his knowledge what he got, using his skills to help in that kid, you know, to develop in that kid, you know, where the kid can be able to
express
themselves. I think that's very important.
Okay. And this environment that you're currently working with, it's a unique one because as a coach, you don't have to really deal with the parents, is what I'm assuming. Mm. Because the parents are quite far away. Yeah. These kids are staying with you. You kind of have, you've made a protective layer around them. You are the parent almost over here. But from the city that that we organize DPDL in, for example, we do DPDL in Bangalore, we do it in Mumbai.
Yeah.
Most of the academies are local grassroots clubs who are coming from the from the city to come and participate. Mm. The parents are the most important kind of stakeholder over there, along with the coach.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, I always talk about the triangle, the triangular relationship between a player, a parent, and a coach.
Mm.
And what we experience at the leagues is these parents actually have, they sometimes put huge pressure on the kids as well.
Mm.
But this is a problem that you guys don't have, or is it that you do have this? I mean, what's the relationship between the kind of parents' angle to developing a player for you guys?
Yeah, I think for us is you know, as a coach, of course we have to look in more for the ground aspect, you know, training the players, making them ready to that. But when it comes to the, you know, parent kids, we have a department over here in the academy where they're working along with the parents. So where, of course, there is, apart from football, there are other aspects as well where we have to look for. That's the part of education. I think the parents, they are very much interested about that, how the kids are doing, how the behavior of the kids, how they're doing football, how we're doing other parts, other things as well. And as we have in this department, so we're able, all of us, to work in together with that and making sure that the kid has the best service possible to express themselves.
Nice. I think what the it's really good to hear this, that the parents are at all steps, like you mentioned, they're kind of informed about what is going on over here, even though they're so far away from the kids. You know, they are informed about it. They're kind of part of your process as well, although they may not be on the pitch.
Yeah,
but they're kind of part of the process, and I think that's what your department, like you said, is good at handling.
Yeah. So I think that the important thing of that, we have started in 2015, with the academy's been eight years running already, and I think we have Padma in charge of the welfare department, and she's doing a brilliant job in terms of that. And I think it's been quite a challenge, you know, because kids are coming from different parts of India, different language, different culture, so it's really a challenge. And where she has to look after many things, you know, schools, from daily basis things, you know, football. So I think we are really able to, you know, to make things working out very well. And at the end of the day, the kid is protected, safe, and just able to be going to the pitch and just do what they love to do.
Nice. Fascinating insights from obviously one of the top, you know, football academies in the country. And it's so great to see that there is a very special emphasis given, like you said, to welfare, to education, and you know, all of this just kind of makes that holistic development of a player even more you know, impactful. Mr. Barreto, I think this is all the time that we have for today. So it's been an honor, firstly as a fan, to be interviewing you, to be sharing this space on the podcast with you, to be talking about your experiences as a player, and I think we may need another episode to kind of cover some of the things we missed today. But it's been a real pleasure, sir. So thank you so much for your time. And
thank you.
You know, good luck for the season ahead.
Thank you. I wish you also all the best for the PDL. For this was a fantastic experience in Bangalore. I think our boys, they're really privileged to have such opportunity to be there and to have the experience what they had. So I wish all the best for you all.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir.